Welcome to You Can Plume, the business podcast where we talk about holistic health as a female entrepreneur. We get to the heart of what it means to live well-being and success in a feminine way so that you can plume in and with your business. If you don't know me yet, I'm Stephanie, a business mentor, yoga teacher, and cultural anthropologist from Germany. Grab your favorite drink, something to write, and let's dive into today's episode.
Okay, Stephanie, I'm so happy to have you here today in my podcast, You Can Plume. And we are meeting right now for the very first time, which is incredible because we just had a quick chat and it feels so familiar talking to you.
It
I
does.
absolutely
I'm
love it.
actually really impressed. Sometimes you just feel that click, and I'm like, wow, I know this person.
Yes,
Really.
exactly. So for the people who do not know you yet, let me introduce you. I will read your amazing biography. I hope that I will pronounce every word right, especially your last name. Please correct me if
Oh.
I'm saying it wrong. So today I'm here with Stephanie Arapian. Was this right?
So close.
Close.
Arapian. You got it.
Arapian. Okay, almost. So Stephanie creates bold, character-driven stories with heart, wit, and high stakes. Her storytelling journey began, ironically, as a Catholic youth liturgical, liturgical, doch, it's the word, minister, liturgical minister.
Yeah.
But it led her to teaching English abroad and earning her MFA at London's East 15 Acting School, where she trained at Shakespeare's Globe and the Russian Institute of Theatrical Arts. Specializing in complex, witty women navigating dystopian futures, deep vulnerabilities, and redemption arcs, Stephanie thrives in the intersection of sci-fi drama and emotional storytelling. I love that. Her latest project, Rewind to Her, is an LGBTQ plus sci-fi drama with a tech-infused twist. As a queer artist, she's passionate about amplifying unheard stories and tackling big ideas. A firm believer in mindset and with firsthand experience of the challenges of turning ideas into reality while juggling multiple hats, Stephanie also helps multiple hyphenate artists stay grounded through meditation, a practice that has been instrumental in her own journey. When not crafting words on screen, she's mixing cocktails, running a temporary housing business, devouring books, and plotting her next adventure. So happy to have you here. Wow, you are doing a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A lot of fun stuff and a lot of cool stuff. But thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. But and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Yes, I mean, your words. So, what I absolutely loved when I first heard about you is that you're bringing in the meditation and another side of acting and production and all these more maybe technical ways of this business world. But it also, I mean, acting is quite time-taking. It's not just a hobby. I mean, it's a lifestyle, I would say.
I agree.
So, what strategies have you found most effective in managing your time and energy to balance your various roles in your life and on screen?
Ooh, well, it's kind of a work in progress. It's always evolving because, we grow and we change and we learn new things and we get new ideas and we take in more information and suddenly, oh, well, that's a better way of doing it. I will say that, funnily enough, I actually just did something I promised myself I was going to do for months now. I finally did time blocking on my calendar, my Google calendar. And then once I saw it blocked out that way and like color blocks and everything from like my times of day that I'm eating or my meditation practice and my workout or time for my what I call my thrival or my W-2 job that allows me income to do other things, I saw this wall of color and I was like, wow, no wonder I feel like I'm a busy person.
You are.
Yes, because I am actually. And I had a checklist and a to-do list that I was doing every day, and I had set blocks of things that I knew I wanted to accomplish. And as long as I had done three major tasks per day, I considered it a good day. And sometimes I had to give myself grace for putting on pants. That can be okay, did that. Whew, that was hard. Sometimes that's just where your energy is. I feel like one of the things that's really helped me is giving myself time blocks and time limits. Like I'm only allowed to work on something for a period of time and then I have to stop because I'm not a machine. I can't just keep going. And there's a point at which you recognize that moving further and moving forward isn't helping. That I am getting tired, I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting angry at this thing that won't cooperate. Hello, technical issues. But pushing through and powering through, which an older version of me might have thought was the best way to keep going, because I will find the answer. Me now knows that, okay, this is the point where I stop, walk away, take a deep breath, grab a glass of water, maybe go for a walk around the block, maybe just shift my focus. Maybe it's not today. Maybe it's tomorrow's time block that I have to get that done. And suddenly it will be like, oh, well, this was the easiest solution ever. Or it becomes another thing, but I have the more mental processes and energy to be able to move forward on it. So it's the most effective technique I would say has been finding when my highest productivity is for what I need to accomplish. Like I know that I am more creative in the morning-ish hours, and I don't mean like 6 a.m. That's not me. I mean like between 10 and noon is kind of when I can get my creative juices flowing and just zone without really any pressure. In the afternoon, I can have a little bit of that, but it mellows quite a bit. And then after that, I don't really have a lot of brain power to think of brand new creative ideas. So it's that knowing how my natural energy flow is, prioritizing what my goals are either for the week, for the month, for the quarter, for the year. That may sound very intimidating, but it means that you've asked yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And when you have that, you can always look back and ask and look at that question. It's like, I'm doing this because insert your goal. And then understand, okay, do I need to focus on that right now? Oh, the answer is no, I don't. That can wait. Because it's not part of this why. And the why can change because you achieve your goals. Wow, you did it. You did your goals. So you change it and you move new ones after you allow yourself time to celebrate your wins.
Oh, yeah.
But
Don't
yeah,
forget his part.
the best part, I mean, that I used to have that very big problem of and I go to coaching as well. My coach would often say, Stephanie, you keep moving the goalposts of your goals without celebrating. And therefore, you never feel like you actually have achieved something. And that's why you're stuck in this cycle of not feeling like you've accomplished something. But when you actually look back, look at all the things you've done. So yes, I managed to get time blocks. I know what my energy flow is. I know what my goals are, and I take solid breaks. So I just sometimes I need to close my laptop and remind myself that I'm a person. I'm not a machine. And that means that stopping to smell the roses or a little breath of fresh air is a good thing every once in a
Yeah,
while.
absolutely. I have
So
mine behind me here.
there you go. This was actually a gift of kindness. I did not pay for this. Someone like actually just gifted it to me on a random day, and that like sailed my gratitude practice for like a week and a half. Like it was amazing, and they're still so beautiful and pretty. And yep, remind
Yes,
me of
dear.
breath.
I
So
love have nature in here because I need a plant. It's helping me to calm down and to feel more comfortable here in my office. But
Yes.
I can relate to all that you said. The first time that I had the idea with this time blocks was when I was sitting in an airplane. And then the captain was speaking to us saying, yeah, now we have to wait because we lost our time slot. And I was like, ooh, time slots. This sounds like I can use that. So yes, it was annoying, but I got away with some new ideas. And also, yeah, between 10 and 12 is definitely the best hour to work for me as well. And as I'm a cyclical being, I live what I teach, which is some cyclical living for entrepreneurs. And so, yeah, I mean, just due to my job, but there is no day like the other, and I'm always planning ahead. So when I know that in my feminine cycle, I'm not feeling maybe that outgoing, for example, then I try not to put in some podcast interviews, for example, or anything else that I'm in front of the camera or that I need to speak to people. I mean, it's not always possible, but if it is possible, I really try to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to be taking stock of where your energy is at today. And sometimes it's like, I have energy to give.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, I need to bring some of that back in for me because
Yeah.
I've given a little too much away. And I can't, as they say, you can't give from an empty cup. You need to fill up your own cup first before you can really energize. And a lot of people, it's just learning to recognize where you are because a lot of people have shut themselves off
Yeah.
because they're powering through, right? They're and so this idea of cyclical living is completely accurate and true, and I agree, and I'd love to know more about what you think about that, but yes.
Perfect. Yeah, so let's speak a little bit about storytelling. So when you develop a character, how do you approach character development to ensure that these characters resonate with your audience?
I think there's something to be said about point of view. Everyone has an opinion on something, on everything. Really, you have an opinion. You just may not want to share it, or it might be a unpopular opinion, or it might be a very common opinion that might need to be challenged. I don't know. But everyone has an opinion or a point of view or a perspective on something. So for me, whether it's accessing a character as an actor or accessing a character and creating a character whole scratch from as a writer, I need to think about what does this person want? What is their goal? Like not just me personally, what is their goal? And how do I, Stephanie, feel about this? What is my opinion about this? And that's been a very interesting journey because and you'll hear so many actors, hopefully, regretfully, talk about how they keep trying to tell what do they want? What do they want from me? And I will give you what you want. And that's actually the whole not point of acting and building a character is knowing who you are, having an opinion about it, and then bringing it forth through the words that have been given to you. I'm not sure how well to explain that, but really, having an opinion is probably the most important thing that distinguishes you from literally everybody else. And that's why there is no other competition with other actors. Like, I know many other people who are technically in my casting bracket who happen to have a similar look or a similar height or a similar appearance. I don't know. But there's no possible way that we can compete with each other because we have completely different opinions or life histories or energies that bring us to those things. So for me, creating a character that resonates with an audience is about knowing what my opinion is. And that's real. That is grounded in who I am and how I think about this thing. And sometimes that's a challenge because you have a character who's like, I hate, for example, gay people. I'm like, okay, well, I'm gay. That would be a difficult character to play. Then I have to find my opinion about that. And I'm like, well, I think this person is wrong, obviously. But what would it be like to think that? How would I come around to think that? And then I have to look backward and I have to build out a history, a wound, a something or other. Like, where does this come back where I could have that opinion? Okay, Maybe I am extremely closeted. Maybe I suffered something in the past that made me extremely scared to be gay, and therefore I have this opinion. Or maybe this is just fear, or maybe this is, I will find my way into that character that seems on the surface to be very far removed from me. But I can do my, because all actors are kind of like amateur psychologists. I will find my way to access this person and understand who they are and where they're coming from and bring that forward. And I feel like I was going to add something else on there, but I lost the train of thought. But in order to create a character that resonates, it needs to be grounded in reality. And in order for you as an actor, or me as an actor, or even a writer, to convey that accurately, it needs to be based somehow in your truth. Whether that means tweaking, adjusting, asking, where can, how can I come to this where this would be true? Maybe I'm being a little complicated or metaphysical or esoteric, but
No, I love that because it's celebrating our uniqueness, and at the same time, it really shows that it is a lot of deep work to do. And I loved you what you said in the, I think it was a reel or a story that you posted the other day on Instagram, and it was a behind the scenes. And I mean, I
I
don't
think that was the
remember the
cathartic
exact
post.
wording. Yeah, but you said something like, okay, that was deep.
That was I think I remember that one part. I think it's something like I was it was very cathartic and I didn't have a lot of words. It was very emotionally raw and intense, but and that's the fascinating part about this whole gig about being an actor and a writer and a producer is you have to balance this really incredibly raw, deep psychological and emotional work with all the technical practical details of producing and creating and lined up of your practical brain. So it encapsulates basically who I am. This the whole struggle is like exactly who I am. And that's how all of this meditation and all of this mindfulness and all of this energy work came about because I had to figure out how to balance these two things.
Coming back to yourself and not living now the life of someone else.
I mean, you talk, you hear about the method actors who get so lost in character that it take like honestly, they need a therapist to get themselves back out again. And if that is your process, more power to you. I hope you have the correct support to bring you back out of that. I can't work that way. That's not possible for me. And for me, a character always resonates more when it comes from a place of truth. And a place of authenticity, of when it's grounded in who you are. It might be a very hidden, pained, wounded part of yourself that may even not have happened, but it comes from your emotional reaction in truth. Like if this had happened to me, oh yeah, this is how I would react. And I can bring that forward in the character. And then that will be true. It's a very interesting imaginary psychological space that we enter, and it's kind of like playtime, but a lot deeper.
Yes, absolutely. I love the answer. I think I need to re-watch it a few times and to really I understood what you said, but I think this was really a gold nugget, what you just said about
Thank you.
this. About acting, but storytelling in general.
It's The more I come back, I used to call myself an actor, and then I realized I was an actor, writer, producer, and then I was different things, and everybody wants to label it and put it on a thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm a filmmaker, and all these labels that people put on. And then I keep coming back to storyteller. And then I realized that really does encapsulate it because I like stories and I like the emotional journey of a story, either by consuming it and watching it, either by reading it, either by performing it, which is my favorite. Or by writing it, which is my second favorite actually right now. But yeah, it's yeah, storytelling is such a it's such an important art. And
Yes,
it
I
helps
feel
us
that.
understand people.
The labeling can be really hard, and I really struggled a lot with telling myself a storyteller, because I felt like I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing enough. I did not have produced enough by now, so I can call myself a
Oh
storyteller.
yes, someone has to write you a certificate right now and says like, "Okay, you have passed the test. You are now a storyteller." And here you go. I was like, "Oh, you have passed the test. You are now an actor." And it's hard. I even have a lovely master's degree that says you took a class and achieved a master's degree in acting, and I still have this, "Oh my God, am I really worthy of this? Am I really able?" Like, it's a whole interesting imposter syndrome. But sorry, what I wanted to come back to was that emotional truth. And I think the message that I lost there was the resonating with truth and that finding the thing I also really love about storytelling and why I'm a storyteller is because through this process, you connect with people who on the surface seem to be completely opposite from you. Or might be on a very different ideological divide, or might have a completely different upbringing or culture or understanding of the world than you do. But all it takes is a pause and some thought about, okay, this is what they hold. I don't need right now in a survival flight or flight mode to just immediately reject that. I can ask, okay, why? Or what would it take for me to come to that same conclusion? And you can agree or disagree with it, but it helps you bridge that gap that feels like it's so far away and brings it together. Like for me, I am all about finding unifying stories or at least tackling big ideas that make us feel like two opposites can come together if only we could communicate better or if we could understand the emotional core of most people is the same. Like we all love, we all fear, we all want the best for our kids, we all want happiness and security, we all want these basic emotional needs. And if we can strip away a lot of the things, we would find we agree on those emotional cores, even if how that manifests in reality means that we think about something very differently. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree on what you said. We all have an opinion, but unfortunately, we don't have all the same voice or the same power. So this
That's
leads
true.
me to my next question. So in your work, you emphasize amplifying the unheard voices. How do you do that, and what can we all do to contribute to important narrative shifts?
Well, I think storytelling is about what stories we tell. It's about who gets to speak. As you just said, it's about some people have those voices and some people don't. And sometimes that means speaking up a little louder for yourself because you have not been heard. And sometimes that's recognizing, oh, okay, I have a louder voice, but maybe this person needs the mic more than I do. So let me hand that over. In practical terms, in production, that can look like, who am I casting? Does this need to be a white man? Does it really? Really? Maybe not. And sometimes that's going to be on production constraints about, okay, I'm writing a pilot and it's hopefully going to go to name your network show. And it's going to be like, okay, well, this audience at this network is not going to agree to cast this. And I'm like, okay, well, I can do what I can in the certain level of power that I have. That's again, you advocate where you can and when you can as much as you can within a situation. Some people have to re ride up the elevator before they can turn around and say, okay, here's how I can help you. Here's how I can advocate for you. So sometimes it's about looking at casting. Does this person have to be this way? It's about who gets to tell the story. Sometimes there are stories that I think are fascinating, but I know that I am not the right person to tell it. I can speak to many things. I can make up stories in my imagination. But if I want to hit an emotional core truth that I have no experience with, I can do my job as an actor and I can probably do the same and take that over and do it as a writer. But part of me would immediately be like, okay, who can I partner with that would know this better? Who needs to be able to tell this story? Can I help them tell this story? Do I need to tell this story myself? So that's another thing. And are we, how do I put this? Choosing what stories to tell. Are we reiterating or telling the same story again and again? That's are we just retelling trauma? For what purpose? Are we trying to make a statement so hard that we miss the humanity of the choice? Are we giving people a chance to be real, to be messy, to not have it all together? That's another thing that I think is really interesting in that several marginalized people, there's so many stereotypes because that was the only way that you could get your voice heard in many mainstream ways. And now, like, you have to be the perfect example of this. No, that's not real. And when we allow people to be in their fullest expression of who they are, that means they're not going to be perfect. That means that we have to be a little bit more open to being, to watching something that's not in our original language, to seeing someone that's differently abled on screen and still having a leading role. There are so many things that I'm very much aware of that I would like to give more space to, and then there are the stories that I'm driven to tell. So it's a very interesting balancing act. But mostly I think that what we can do as people is to consume stories that are outside of our own lived experience. So if something's unfamiliar to you, it's kind of a sign you should maybe at least give it a chance. I've recently been watching a lot more. I'm not sure if you're aware of the television network BET. These are a lot of African American storytelling and a lot of different storytelling styles and people and characters that have not been very well represented in mainstream television. And so I'm branching out and trying to become more familiar with that, understand that story, and just give it that time and space to sink into my consciousness so I can be like, aha. This is how the experiences are different, and recognize where, yeah, I don't have a perspective on that because it hasn't been my experience. But I can hear from them on their perspective, reading books, watching documentaries. Just the more that we expand, the more that we expand what we value and find value in those stories that are outside of our experience, the more we grow and the more stories get made.
Yeah, what I hear is self-awareness.
Oh yeah, and that's something that's really challenging for a lot of people because it does require you to look at the not so nice parts and recognize that you are a messy human being, no matter how much you have it together, and that we have messy emotions and we don't need to be super happy or super depressed all the time, or we run the whole gamut of human expression. And yeah, that requires looking in a mirror and actually being able to be somewhat okay with what you see, or making changes about things that you don't see. And that's some hard work.
Yeah, so let's do this hard work and speak about some messy emotions. What would you recommend for someone who may struggle with self-doubt while pursuing their passions or their dreams?
If you're struggling with self-doubt, first of all, it's proof that you care. So good on you. You care. You have found something you're passionate about and that you don't want to fail in. Self-doubt is basically fear of failure, in my opinion. It's many other things, but that's the thing that jumps out. And that's the thing that I have struggled with so much. And it sneaks up on you. It's something like, I feel uncomfortable, or maybe I can't do this, or I get very tense and very stressed, and I start trying to control everything because my brain tells me if I can control the outcome, it will be fine and I won't fail, I will succeed. And I would say to challenge that, fear isn't failure, or failure isn't a bad thing. I want to remove the word failure and say, what can I learn from this? What is this teaching me right now that I need to know in order to level up? What is, instead of saying like, what if I fail, think about what if I learn something amazing? Like, what if this is something I needed to know? Like, every lesson that I've had in the last, every supposed failure I've had, I can look back now and start seeing like, oh, I needed to learn that. Yeah. And now I know how to move forward and have that in mind. It's about enjoying the failure. Like, as an example, I've been doing my short Rewind to Her. It just got into its first film festival and is premiering next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm headed to Arizona in a month. And in between that, I've also gotten to nose. Now, a lot of people would say, oh my God, that means you failed. I don't think that at all. I mean, this has been a lot of mental work and perspective shifting for me over that I've been working on for, years at this point. But I'm at the point where I can be like, I gotta know. Yes, that's awesome. And you know why that's awesome? Because you clearly told me that you are not my people. I don't need my presence to be at your festival. I wish you all the best in your festival, and that's fine. There's like I don't know. If you took a whole 100% of the people of the world, you divide it into thirds. There's a third of the people that are going to hate your guts no matter what you do. There's a third of the people that are going to absolutely love every single thing that you do. And then there's the people who are like, meh, it's okay. So by giving me a no, you already told me you are in that third that isn't for me. You are not, you told me it was not for me. And I'm like, great. Now I don't have to waste my time and my energy. And I can go back to the people who said yes, or the people who are like, yeah, all right, I kind of get you, and move forward like that. And it's such an energy saver in some ways to be like, this is a no. Oh my God, thank you. So that's an example of how a perceived failure would actually turn into like a really great lesson and something that carries you forward. Another thing would be celebrating whenever s that those good things happen, because your gremlin is working overtime to tell you all the things that are wrong, that are happening, that are failure, that are self-doubt, that are you're gonna fail, you're gonna die if you do this. It's new. It's new. And it wants to pull you back into safety. It cares about you. It wants you to be safe and comfortable. The problem is that we don't grow if we are safe and comfortable. And we don't get to achieve the things we want to do if we are safe and comfortable. So we have to take baby steps outside of our comfort zone. And the gremlin is always going to fight back about that. And the smarter you get, the smarter it gets. So I actually started this just this year, a little jar of wins. So every time something good happens, or something, I get a win, or something said really nice to me, or it was just like a positive feeling, I write it down and I put it in my jar against my gremlin days, to be able to open up as like, okay, I'm having a hard day. I suck at everything. Everybody's saying no, I'm not getting any auditions and nothing's happening for me and I have no money. And then first I have to take a deep breath and be like, okay, is that really true? Is that a fact? Is it a
It's not.
fact? It's not a fact. And they're like, okay, so it's not a fact, but I still want to feel crappy. I want to. So I start opening up and I was like, oh, well, yeah, that was a nice moment. Okay. Or at least having a practice or something that you know will lift you back up. Is there a playlist that's going to get you back up and out of that? Is there an activity that you can go do right away? Like dancing in the middle of your living room, like no one's watching. Is there somebody you can call that says, I'm having a horrible day. Can you just tell me a joke or anything? Like having a practice that when you dip, when your mood dips, when you have a bad day, when you're having a hard day, you have tools to get you back out, or at least to mellow you out of that. You might not reach back up here, but at least to navigate, because you're going to have them. The days are going to go down, and you're going to have amazing days. But you have to be able to like celebrate the wins and bookmark that feeling in your brain so that when you come back down, you can be like, okay, yeah, but that felt really good. So, okay, you can bring it back up again. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. And I love the gremlin char. I think I need a gremlin char too.
It's fun. I mean, I have actually named and picture my gremlin. So we have chats every once in a while. I check in with her and she's like, yeah, but just all those middling words. That's like, oh, well, we just want you to be safe. I was like,
Yeah, I
I
love
feel
that.
you.
I will establish that in my life too.
Yeah.
So, speaking about the future now, what themes or messages do you hope to explore further in your projects? Or is there anything you work on right now and you want to share with us?
Well, I think that as a storyteller, I'm always focused on strong emotional core questions. Like we look at big questions, but we look at small on a small individual character perspective. So we might tackle a question like, what would you do if you had a second chance? Which is the rewind to her. It's a the small short. And what would you do if you had a second chance? Would you go back and change things? What would the consequences be? Should you go back and change things? And that a lot of things around that. But my current project I'm actually writing on right now is a pilot that mostly asks, can you live ethically in an unethical world, which like can you live right by doing wrong? Can you live in this world while everything around you is like an oppressive wrong system and still do good in many ways? But we explore that through character. So I love being able to find and bring together people of differing opinions and explore how they might connect and how they might unify and what pushes them away and what puts them together. Amateur psychology, as we say. I am also really excited about the work I'm doing in creating more meditations for more multi-hyphenate artists. It's a new endeavor for me. I've just started this year and I actually, it's doing the work is doing it for myself. I'm creating things that I know that I need. And as I reach out to more people, they're like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. I'm like, great. It's because we're on the same track. We're on the same train. And creating the meditation script, having a focus, it's amazing how I can't describe the feeling of having guidance, but also creating that guidance for yourself is such an empowering feeling that allows you to move forward confidently through your day. It is a daily thing for me because I can't be like meditate once and then be good for the week. I'm like, no, my journey is very different. But yeah, so I'm really excited about where that's going. It's called the Centered Creator. And yeah, I'm in very intrigued to see where we go on that journey as the rest of my acting and writing takes off. So.
I love that, and I had a pleasure to listen to one of your meditations, and I absolutely loved it. I
Thank
listened
you.
to it before I recorded a video that I was really kind of struggling to record it, not because I'm afraid of being in front of the camera, but because of the topic. And it's a topic I got a lot of hate for speaking about it because it's cultural appropriation. And but yeah, I did your meditation and I sat down and I pressed record and yes, now I just need to cut it and upload it, but I
Oh, well, I'm so pleased to hear that it helped center you and helped you in some way confront this very difficult topic. It sounds amazing, and I can't wait until you drop it
yeah, it's the
and we can
first
watch it.
time I speak about it in English.
Ooh, okay.
So
I'd be
yeah.
very curious to read the
We're
hear
a bit
that.
over the time, but if you
Okay.
allow, give me 10 more minutes if you got that.
Okay. I think we can do that.
I would love to ask you my seven quick questions.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not prepared for them because you
No.
don't know what they are, but they're called quick questions for a reason. So
Okay.
let's see. It's a bit like speed dating. So, how do you like your coffee?
It's tea.
Yeah, mine
Yeah.
too.
I don't really do coffee. Yeah, I've made a ridiculous amount of coffee in my life for a person who doesn't drink coffee, but I'm definitely a tea person.
I love that. Perfect. What is your favorite food?
Ooh, dark chocolate.
Ooh.
I'm gonna say a nice salmon. Yeah, a nice salmon dish, crispy on the outside and soft on the inside.
Okay, I love that. How would you describe yourself in three words?
I know, I keep editing myself in my head. Intelligent, grounded, witty, whimsical.
Love that. What or who inspires you?
My mom, that might be a cliche answer, but when I look at her life and all the things that she accomplished while having three kids, being married, and having a full-time job, yeah.
Okay,
There are
perfect.
many other people that I look up to, but she's definitely a constant, everyday inspiration.
Oh, wow. Okay, I love it so much. So, which person from the past would you like to meet?
Ooh. I kind of want to say a major figure, but you know what? I honestly don't think he would talk to me.
Well,
Damn.
he would miss out on so
He
much.
would miss out, absolutely. I want to. I wow, that's a hard question. I apparently I'm not great at these questions. Somebody from history picking it out. Jane Austen.
Okay, yeah. And what are you most passionate about right now?
Oh, storytelling. It just. The different avenues of expression. Like right now, I'm really excited about building out the script that I'm working on right now. And the funny part is, I use a garden metaphor. I have many areas of my personal garden. There's an acting garden area, there's a writing area, there's my temporary housing business area, there's my meditation area, there's my family and friends area. And when you water any one thing, the water actually goes all the way down into the soil and helps the entire garden to grow. So focusing on one area doesn't neglect any particular area because they all work together to create this beautiful garden. So when I say that I say storytelling, it may sound very vague, but I say that knowing that when I'm writing, my writing is helping my acting. And when I'm working on my acting, that's helping my writing and it's helping my friends and family and it's helping me understand the world more. And when I work on the business, I understand how things work in the world more and I can apply that to my acting in this. So to answer the question, I'm really excited about the script that I'm writing right now.
Yeah, me too. To see the result. And the last question, what would you like other people to know about you?
I'm kind of a dork. A little bit of a geek, a nerd. I am very, I don't know. I feel like it may take a while sometimes for people to get to know me. Like on a one-to-one level, sometimes it's very easy. On a larger level, I feel like I am so good in some ways at being in front of a camera, as I think you asked me before, that there's a divide that I have between what's public and what's private. And so there is a bit of a line, and sometimes I don't know exactly the difference between the two. Sometimes I hold back too much, sometimes I don't hold back enough. And I am here on this planet as part of the community to do that for you. To hold up as an example of this person who has a really good public and a really good private face. And I don't know. I wish people knew that I'm very real, very grounded. I have and can talk to most people, but only when my energy is there.
Yes, I can feel that.
Yes, I'm an ambivert in that sometimes I can get charged up by talking to people, and sometimes I have to hermit to recover from people. So,
So, Stephanie, thank you so much for your time and this very, very interesting interview. I mean, I need to re-watch it, re-hear it a few times because you really put there some gold nuggets in and it's such a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very,
Well,
very
thank
much.
you so much for inviting me. It was lovely to chat with you, and these were all very thought-provoking questions, and sometimes I take them in very interesting directions. So hopefully it's something that's helpful to you and to your listeners, and I look forward to hearing more about where you're going with things.
Yeah, that's the magic. And obviously, I will put all your links into the description box so people can reach
Appreciate it.
out to you. And yes, maybe you can listen to your great meditations.
There will be more coming soon.
Can't wait.
Thank you.